to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 14. Gospel of John, chapter 14. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, thank you very much for your word. God, help us with it. Let it help us as we look to you to allow it to possess us, to guide us, to govern us. God, thank you. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, 3 1/3 years, he's about to go to the cross, just in a matter of hours, literally. And in the process, he meets specifically with his 11 now. Judas has gone out. And he gives them a very special time. They're very special. They've been with him for 3 1/3 years. And he gives them a most special occasion, chapter 13 through 17, before his crucifixion. Very special information. And remember now, they've followed him. You don't need all that background again. Crossed the Jordan, Lazarus is healed, and all of those things. But they understand, like Thomas said before they crossed Jordan, let us go over with him and die. And they're very conscious in the upper room. Luke 22. We're going to go to prison or we're going to die. That's what they know. That's their outlook. And here he is, our Lord, telling them he's going to go where and how and to whom. They don't know. They can't put the pieces together. And so, chapter 14, along with the rest, is meant to be very, very stimulating and encouraging. And now, and God doesn't answer their questions specifically. He answers them in total. And he answers them, like in John 14, 5, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And we did all that, but keep that in mind, if you would, that they're looking, and the Lord Jesus answers it in a most special way. Verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And then he proceeded, as we read and studied, verse 7, verse 8, verse 9, verse 10, verse 11, he told them, I am who I am, most wonderfully, I am who I am. I'm standing in front of you. I've been trying to help you. You've had all 3 1/3 years to be knowing. Now, knowing, but you're not knowing. That's the trouble. All of that time and you don't know. I am who I am. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Wow. Now, God, what are you saying, Lord? I am all in all. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the Father. To see me is to see the whole ball game of forever. Just looking at me. I am totally the Creator and the Redeemer of all. Just look at me. Simply, you can reach out and touch me. And remember now, that's one of the problems the Jewish people had, among others. What is that? The problem is, dear friend, that in the process with them, that they couldn't conceive that God, being God, could be a man. Even though they have known from Genesis 3:15, from day one, they knew. But they just couldn't put it together. Understandably, all we got to do is look at each other. No offense. And then think of God. Now, how could you possibly look at each other from a human standpoint and conceive God? Hard, isn't it? You bet it is. And that's our problem. Now, so here he is trying to help them in a most wonderful way, and he's going to give them a most wonderful, wonderful encouragement all the way through. In my Father's house are many mansions, as we shared verses 1, 2, and 3. My Father's house. But, and then he adds, so they know that they're going, because he's going to leave, and he's answering their question by telling him who he is. And therefore, all the pieces will come together once you understand that. They don't understand it yet. They will understand it on the day of Pentecost, but not until then. Now, and then it will just be the beginning, actually. Now, so over, if you can, just to jump ahead a bit, over to chapter 17. He's going to tell them something wonderful. Chapter 17, verse 18. As thou hast sent me, our Lord, talking to God the Father in his perfect humanity and deity, as thou hast sent me, verse 18, into the world, so, even so, have I also sent them into the world. Now he's going to close with that, so that they have an assignment. So they aren't looking to where, they aren't going to be looking for his absence. They're going to be looking to him for their assignment as they go out the door, as they go to Jerusalem, to the every place they're going to go. Now, having said that, back over to John chapter 14. As my Father sent me, so send I you. And what do we know about our Lord, as we study in rather detail? Then how they want to know about him. And he made himself very clear, verse 6, 14, 6 through 11, etc. He made it very clear his words and his works were of the Father. He perfectly, totally represented God the Father in his humanity. So whenever you see me, he said, you see the Father. How can you see me, he said, and not the Father? I and my Father are one. So he's helping them. Now, they have an assignment. And his, as my Father sent me, so send I you. How did he come? He declared his wonderful person and presence by his works and his words. Wow. Now, how am I going to do that? He then says, as we've been looking at, and remember now, this passage never gets treated right. Not very often, I should say. Because the whole rest of your New Testament is about this. Puts it together. Now, therefore, what did you say? To encourage them and to give them some encouragement that how can they represent you, you're going to say to them. But you already told them, verse 12, 14, 12, verily, verily, most assuredly, assuredly, you can count on it, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater, larger, more quantity, quality, in dignity in every way. Greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever he shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So here he is going, and they're going to go and do greater works, more works than he did. Now, and we share together 55 pieces of information to understand why. They are going, and they represent him. They don't represent them. They represent him. He who's telling his works and words for 3 1/3 years, now are going to be his works and words with all those people. And his works and words are going to come out of all of those people. Boy, is that big. Is that large? Absolutely. Now, keeping that in mind, and he's told them, they can't grab this yet, but they will. Therefore, the future, they are going to be knowing who he is. They're going to understand that he himself, by himself, is the total answer to every question and every problem you'll ever have with anything, anyone, anywhere. He alone. When you receive him as your Savior, is the total answer for all of time and eternity. Do you understand? It's hard, isn't it? Wow. Hang on. God, now, and we share together. We share together in all kinds of ways. God made it extremely, explicitly clear. It is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Not by works in any way, shape, or form. Dead works. I saved you from dead works. I saved you from the whole system which is condemned. So there's no works, not by works of righteousness which we have done. No flesh shall glory in my presence. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And over and over and over and over and over. You're going to say it to us time and again, because it isn't works. The works of the flesh, Galatians 5:19-21. The works of the flesh, among which are idolatry and witchcraft, of us, are built into us. The works, the evidence, that which shows itself. How do you know we're not saved? By our works, our life, our old nature. Think of Mark 7:18-23. All the system. It isn't what goes into you, it's what's come out of you. No one, no person or thing anywhere in forever can corrupt you. You all alone and I all alone, in and of ourselves, we have the problem, and God and we have the right and the power to fix it in the wonderful grace of God. Wow. And we can't blame anybody for anything, because we have to respond. We have the right to choose, the right to think, the right to believe. And we have to make that decision. And our works, our normal works, condemn us. So God said, it's not by works. The flesh cannot please God in any way, shape, or form. So therefore, we're going to go and understand that since that isn't going to happen, and that the works evidence our old nature, that's all they do, that's why we're unsaved, that's why we don't get saved. And we shared together last time as we looked at these works in the New Testament. And you have to turn there, Revelation chapter 20, 12 and 13 in that. How are you going to judge everyone from Cain all the way to the end of the millennium that don't know you? How are you going to do it? You're going to do that one great white throne judgment. And are you going to bring up their sin as you know? No, I'm not going to bring up their sin. I died for their sin. That's why they all had the opportunity to be saved. I'm not going to judge them for their sin or their sins. Their sin of unbelief, they're going to be judged. But that's because I paid the price. But, I'm going to judge them by their works. Because you see, the works are going to what? Evidence what you believe. The works are going to speak and tell us where you are. Your works. Works, belief, behavior. It's going to be. Your works are there. So just go by the works and you'll know where the person's coming from. The Lord said, see my works and you'll know I and my Father are one. And here's the world and here's the world system we live in. And the world system we live in is all caught up in it seeking to survive like a great big ball, a machine. And we're trying to keep the machine running, this planet Earth, and trying to keep our little societies and communities and cultures all functioning, fearing what? That we can't afford to lose them. We can't afford to have something happen to the machine, to the culture. And therefore, we aggressively try all kinds of ways to keep it going. Now, but in the process, so God, here we are going, and we're to be showing a unique relationship to you by our works. That's correct. That's correct. And you're going to be my witnesses, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You're my witnesses. You want your witnesses. You're my witnesses. What are you witnessing about? You're witnessing the wonderful sign I'm only going to give to all of the world in their rank unbelief. Jews and Gentiles, I'm going to give them one sign, the sign of the prophet Jonah. And I'm going to leave an empty tomb. And I'm going to leave it empty. And the world's going to have to try to figure it out. And I'm going to show the evidence of the empty tomb in a most special, gracious, wonderful way. I'm going to show the empty tomb by my grace, which no one has paid attention to all through history. Jew and Gentile, and I'm going to show something. How am I going to show it? I'm going to show a wonderful relationship to me, which is what it was all about in the first place. Humans are made in the image and likeness of God for God to be able to look at them and to see himself. Animals and insects and birds and fish, spiders, they're all built in God's magnificence, with instinct. And they do everything perfectly without ever going to school, without having to think. But humans, God didn't give you instinct. God made you for himself. And he will be your instinct. Do you understand that? And when humans miss out, we're trying to, animals look at us and they say, do you remember the last time you saw a giraffe swear? No. God, here we are, we're your witnesses, that's right, to show you a wonderful, wonderful person. In a most wonderful way. We're showing, the believers are to be showing the person of Jesus Christ. How can they show the person of Jesus Christ? Without evidencing it. And therefore, we have to have works. We have to have wonderful, wonderful works working in us, on us, and about us. Now, therefore, and you'll remember when you, in Romans chapter, well, turn there because you're going to sleep. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, picking up, please. Remind you, when you get saved, you have to believe what? On the Lord Jesus Christ. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, what are you doing? You're receiving him. Here he is. We're in his presence right now. Gone. God? That's right. I'm waiting. I need to understand that. Now, Romans chapter 10, so as you know, Verse 9, that if we shall confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart, in the heart, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so what are we doing? We're evidencing a unique personal relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ in a most personal way. We believed he rose again. That's what we did. That's what we believe he died for us. But we received him. That means he had to rise again. And we're the witnesses of such an event. And we are continue to be witnesses of such an event. And what it does for us, and we'll turn over there, over to 2 Corinthians. And in 2 Corinthians, picking up, chapter 5, you'll know it, actually, chapter 5, and among all the many, many, many things, chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man, woman, boy, or girl, be in Christ, location, in the Lord Jesus Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. Remember now from you don't have to turn there, 1 Corinthians 10. Jew, Gentile, and the church of God. A new creation. There never was such a thing. No, there is now. So when believers get saved now, in the age of grace, in the church age, they're made and given an awesome position, as we've shared 5,000 times, an awesome position in the person of God, in the person of Christ. He's the head, and we become the body. No one else ever is going to have that position, ever, past or millennium. No one has it. God, it's a special demonstration of grace to demonstrate the Lord Jesus Christ, John 1:14, is full of grace and truth. And how can Christ be in you without the grace of God in you? That's why, well, why not? John chapter 1. And in John chapter 1, picking up, please, in verse, you know, in case you may not, the end of verse 14, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Sliding down, verse 16, and of his fullness have we all received. Remember, the word received is the same as in verse 12, when we receive the Lord as your Savior. And when you did that, verse 16, and of his fullness have we all received grace in place of grace in place of grace. And why doesn't it ever end? Because the grace is located in God. That's where it's coming from. He's the head. He's full of grace and truth. So what's he provide? Endless, endless, endless supply. Grace means totally of God and totally zero for us humans. Zero works. That's why you're saved by grace plus zero, plus nobody, plus nothing. Wow. It's all about you, God. It's hard to get that. But, God, that's what you've done. And you've made us not only new creatures in Christ, full of grace and truth, we're to be, and we're to be conformed to the image of thy Son. That's what it's all about. And over there, why not? Good to do it. Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, picking up, please. God, you have a wonderful plan. I do. What are we supposed to be doing here? You're representing me. How do we represent you? By being saved by your grace and exercising your relationship as a child of God, as a son of God. Be sons in the Son and live like that. Now, hang on. It'll come, Lord willing. Now, so in the process, God, we're going to go and we're being changed. You were all once littler, smaller. You all grew up to be what you are. but you grew up. You didn't start out like you are now. You were once little ones, and you grew up. When you get saved, God makes you a full adult son, but you have to grow and develop. You have to grow and change. New creatures, and we're being changed. Thus, therefore, God, verse 8, 28, and we know that all things work together for good. There's a little word, work together, we're looking at. For good, to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For what reason? Whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate, to mark out ahead of time what's to be. To predestinate, to be conformed, changed, transformed, to be like another, other than it is. To be conformed to the image of his Son. Wow. That we might be the firstborn among many brethren. You know, God, here we are, and you're going to go and change us. So what are we looking for? Well, when you come to know the Lord as your Savior, you're in the process of being a new creature. All things have passed away. All things have become new. So it doesn't matter where you were born, who you were born, anything about anything. It just matters that you're new. And the newness involves a unique relationship to God in totality. Relationship to God in totality. You're new. Everything's new. The old's all gone. Ah, do you get that? Wow. No, it is so. God, I want you to live like that. So when you have all the lousy stuff in us, our works of our flesh, and all of that junk, we just know it's there. There's no, don't beat yourself to death over it. It's part of your makeup. That's why you doubt and deny and have depression and discouragement and disappointment. That's where all that comes from. And you just disregard it. God's done with it. So don't you keep working on it. We like worry because worry's the last thing we can do to feel you're doing something about your problem. You're at least what? Worrying. So God, what are you doing? I did something. Wonder, I'm trying to help the believers understand that what I've done for them. And I did something wonderful. And here's all the big world and the universe and all of the angels and the demons and everyone else. Wow. But God, you took and any whosoever that would believe, you made it possible for them to have a unique personal relationship to you. In a very, very personal way. Now, and have they? So you're going to become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Now, and that, so that now, hang on. Our Lord, I want to look back at, going to go back and forth, because as my Father sent me, so send I you. Now, Lord, if I was there, if we were there, and we're there by record, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, we're there, and Lord, what do we know about you? Well, we spent 3 1/3 years with you. You know what? You ate. You slept. You got tired. You washed the feet. On and on and on. You were very ordinary. And at once extraordinary. What are you looking for us, God? I want you to be ordinary. In an extraordinary way. That's what I want. Don't make it a thing you can't never get there. I meant you to have a changed life. I meant you to have a wonderful life. I didn't mean something so complicated and so profound you couldn't get it. What I've done for you is extremely profound and wonderfully simple. Now, so therefore, God, what are you going to look for? Over, if you would please, to Revelation. And Revelation, remember in Revelation chapter 2, I get there. Revelation chapter 2. And Chapters 2 and 3 are all about, Revelation is prophecy about the church, about the end times, about the future. And Revelation 2 and 3 is about the history of the church by using seven literal historic churches that are very real, like a horseshoe, almost a horseshoe, in his Ephesus on the coast, and you go around like this, Laodicea, and you have a little circle like that in Turkey, and you have them there, country. Not a Turkey. Just kidding. Now, so in the process, God, here you are. That's right. And those seven churches are going to tell, I'm putting them in order to show how church history is going to unfold. But in the process, they're real churches, and I want you to know about every single assembly, every local assembly that represents the body. That's why each local assembly is in a unit in itself, because it represents the head, and it's called the local body of believers. So each local body is able to be a complete expression of God's wonderful person. You don't have to have 10 of them together, like denominational or something. Now, so here's Revelation chapter 2, and interestingly enough, you know these things. Every church, you do the same thing. That's right. And Revelation chapter 2, I'm going to go to verse 2. I'll read the first verse only in this one. Unto the angel, the messenger of the church of Ephesus, write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, the seven local churches. Verse 2. I know thy works, and thy labor, and love, and patience. I know thy works. Now there's your thing. Now every time, I'm not going to read them all, but every time, what are you going to say, God? What do you start with? When you look at the assembly, here we are, and you know, we just read it, verse 1, he walketh up and down, he's here, you bet your boots, he's here. We're in his presence. Now, God, what are you looking for? I'm looking for the works. I see the humans saved and unsaved. I'm looking for the evidence that they know me. What is the evidence? The works. The works. That's the evidence. That's how I know. Hang on, it'll come. And thus, in verse 5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works to Ephesus. Get your act right. Get back to where you should be, doing the works that evidence your unique relationship to me. And then you'd go to each thing, verse 9, etc. I know thy works, and you're going to say it. In verse 13, I know thy works, and you're going to say it every time. Why? Because it's the issue. How do you know the relationship to Christ? By the works. How else can you know? I could say anything. I could say I believe. I could say that. That doesn't make me saved. Anyone can say that. They did say that in the days of our Lord. And the Lord wouldn't believe. He wouldn't commit himself to them. They just had a surface belief. I believe in Jesus. I believe in the Bible. I believe in church. No, it has to be more than that. Otherwise, we don't understand the whole purpose of us being left here, believers, is to demonstrate the wonderful person of Jesus Christ, who is God. And we understand that because we have a unique relationship to God in Christ that shows our, and we show that. We show that. We say that. We confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God hath raised him from the dead. I serve a risen Savior. Wow, that's what it's all about. Now, so here's Revelation, and you know without the great passages that were mentioned even earlier, Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to what? Please him. For he, she, that cometh to God must believe that he is.
Two little words, four letters.
He is. He is. Jesus said, I am. Did you get it? I am. He is. Here he is. Without faith, it's impossible. Yes, believe that he is. And a rewarder, a payer in full of those that diligently seek him. Are you going to be disappointed because you look to God? Never. No. You cannot believe in me and end up being ashamed. Now, so God, here we are looking. And not only, we got to have faith, hang on to that, and we walk, 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. So, A, you can't go anywhere without faith, and you can't walk or live without faith. You walk by faith. You live by faith. That's right. The life I now live in the flesh, etc. Now, having said that a little bit, over to the book of James. So God, here we are looking, and we walk by faith, we live by faith. And you made it very clear, without turning there now, John chapter 15, except you abide in me, and I abide in you, verse 5, without me, how much can you do? Do you understand nothing? Nothing. Without me, you can do zero. I saved you from dead works, having no relationship to me, so that your works would be alive. How are they alive? Because you're living an extraordinary life in an ordinary way. My life. When God gives you the gift of eternal life, what is that? It is God's uncreated life. Your life is created. His life is uncreated. And you have a relationship. God has made it possible to have a relationship to God, to his life, to the way he lives, to the way he outlives. And therefore, you can't live it without him. You can't do it without him. You can't have grace without him. And your works cancel out, as it were, nullify his grace. Because if it's by works, then it's not of grace. Wow. So James, and if I may, in chapter 1, and encouragement, James, remember, they're having a difficult time, persecution and all of that. And in James chapter 1, my brethren, verse 2, count it all joy when you fall into divers, various kinds of temptation, trial, being put to the proof, knowing this, that the trying, putting in trial, approval, of your faith, the faith, the body of truth being believed, the faith, body of truth, working, worketh patience, bearing up under the load. Verse 4, but let patience, bearing up under the load, have her perfect, complete, whole, full work, that it you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. I want you to go and be encouraged, and you're going to look to God, and you're going to trust God by faith, and God's going to do a wonderful, complete work. Complete, not partial. Nothing skimpy about it. No, not at all. Now, sliding over in James, where you're here, chapter 1, and sliding over to verse 25. James 1 and 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect, there's your little word, complete, whole, finished. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, freedom from bondage, and continueth therein, if you keep looking at what God has done, the truth you'll set, Romans, John 8:32, the truth will what? Set you free. And if you keep looking at the truth, it's going to free you with understanding so you can function, fulfill, be fruitful, fellowship. How are you going to do it? You can't do it unless I help you. He said, God, I got to do it. Hang on. So now, verse 25, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer, to be doing, of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deed or his doing. So as I look into the mirror, as it were, God's word, to say it straightway, as I look into God's word, it causes me to be thinking, rethink, unthink, learn, unlearn, relearn. God, I'm reading, and it catches on, and I'm catching it a little bit, and it changes. And as long as I keep looking, and I keep reading, it keeps changing me. When I don't look at it, it's gone. Close your Bible, and it's gone. Unless you hide the word in your heart. And then that's what's going to happen, because you're going to be changed, conformed to the image of his Son. Now, in the light of that, therefore, chapter 2. And in chapter 2, you are going to recall, may I pick up, please, the movement, chapter 2, in verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, said James, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? Now remember faith, just in case it be needed to remind you, faith is a wonderful, wonderful word. It's the word God uses. Without it, you can't get saved. Because faith means the person isn't going to do his works. It means the person has to understand someone, something else outside of me. There's nothing inside of me. I can't produce it. I can't make the bus leave on time. I can't make the car start without the key. I have to exercise faith. Faith means I'm trusting something or someone else. God said, without faith, it's impossible to please me. I want you out of the equation. I want you out of the picture. I want you to find me totally the one resource. Think of Acts chapter 16, verse 31, in the light of that statement. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a command. And thou shalt be saved. That's in the passive. You do the believing. God does the saving. Show me your works. Show me your faith. You can't, because faith has to be somewhere. Bear with me, illustration. I know that you all believe the pew. I know that because you're resting on it. That's how I know your works. You're sitting there. That's how I know it. Wow, that's right. Show me your works. You can stand up and never sit down and say, I believe the pew holds me, but you don't sit in the pew. See, here's the water. This is sacred water. Here's the water. Now, and here's this water. And I believe the water is good, is it? No. You'll know I have faith because I drink it. Show me your faith. Show me it. James, it isn't wrong. You can. You say, I believe. Show me. Show me. Now, let me do it quickly. Sliding, verse 15. Verse 16. And one of you say unto them, depart in peace, and be ye warned and warm and warned and warm and filled. Notwithstanding, you give them not those things that they need, which are needful into the body. What doth it profit? You said, go and get warm without me giving you anything to get warm. Verse 17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devil's demons also believe and tremble. Their hair stands on end, as it were. They don't have hair like you do, but their hair, use the expression. They're terrified in the light of God. Wow. No, rightly so. Now, verse 20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? So right in verse 26. For the body without the spirit is dead, as the body without the spirit is dead. In other words, if we go to the mortuary and check the bodies, you'll find there's nothing going on because the person's gone. That's what you're looking for. What did we say? They're dead. Why are they dead? Because the person's not there. They're dead. Verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So God, you've got to have some evidence. God, you're looking for evidence. I made it possible for you to... greater works will you do than these. I'm going to go, and you're going to go and exercise faith. When you exercise faith in who I am, the benefits of knowing and understanding who I am, I'm your all in all, it'll show up. And you're comforted. You're confident. You're competent. Wow. That's right. Why? Because of you. Everything could be lousy around you. But God isn't. And when I'm looking to God and see Him as He is and understand what He's doing for me, He isn't trying to save my job, trying to save my health. He isn't trying to go and save my family. No, He's saving me. And I've got to let that happen. If I don't let it happen, it won't. And I never knew what it was like to be a new creature. I didn't know. I lived my life like everyone else does. But God, you never asked us to do that. You asked us to outwork your life. Philippians 2, you don't have to turn there, 12, you know it. We use it, it's a key. Work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. Verse 13, for it is God which worketh, underline, in you, both to will, to work of His good pleasure. It's a relationship. You have one to your blood, to your body, to your lungs, and you exercise, and that's called physical life. And we exercise in our relationship to God, and that's called spiritual life. And we're looking to God as a child of God. We think and we love our Father, and we want to do things and look at the Word of God and changes our life, and thus it comes into our life. And so then what do? Well, we live an ordinary life, drinking water and eating pizza and doing whatever. Whatever you do, do it what? As unto the Lord. Do it heartily. That's what I want. I want you to evidence in the ordinary, the extraordinary. And drink. I'll have another sip. To the glory of God. I am a believer. Thank you. No? If God made it complicated, my dear friend, and it could be, you and I don't have a shot at ever knowing it. God has made it most marvelous and simple. Not complicated, not theological,
biblical. Otherwise, we come and go, come and go, come and go, and you don't have anything. And you want to help your children? Oh, God help them. Let them see some life. Let them see some commitment. Let them see something going about God. You've got a great God. That's why your family altar and all these different things. What? God's in the house. Isn't he in the house? Isn't he in the bedroom? Kitchen? In the car? When you eat your food? And if you're saved, isn't he in you in the first place? See? And you exercise that. Wow. So therefore, in closing, a scripture. All right. 1 John 1:7. You aren't far away. Because you're going to say, well, how am I going to do that? Well, I'm going to remind you and myself. 1 John 1:7. You know it over and over again. God, here we are. And I'm going to go, if I can, in the chapter 2 and in verse 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought, if you abide in Christ, abide in me, you can do nothing without me. But whosoever keepeth his verse 6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. As my Father sent me, what? So send I you. Wow. Be of good cheer. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, not in the dark, as he is in the light, he is the light, we have fellowship one with another, a real, not friendship, fellowship. You cannot have biblical fellowship without God. Don't talk about fellowship biblically unless God's in the room. We live as if God's nowhere. We're going to do that in a conference. God help us. Wow. God, here we are. And as we walk in the light, as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. On and on, just like your eye. God, we live in it. We live covered, bathed in the middle of the ocean of your love. Shown forth by your shed blood that set us apart, sanctified us, and gave us the right to be a heir, a joint heir, a legal heir in Christ Jesus of all the benefits, of all the wonderment of being a child of God, being yours. Father, thank you. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all our sin. And we aren't trying to figure out how I can be better. I sat down in the... It doesn't matter. Anyway, God, it isn't going to be figuring out how to be better. No, I'm just going to forget and learn to neglect your pride. Learn to neglect it. Don't fight it. Neglect it. And look to God and enjoy the moments. And I said the other day to remind us not wasting your time. I don't know what some people are going to do because they find it very hard that heaven is going to be all about God and God's wonderful person. And it isn't going to be about you or me or anything you like. God's going to change you completely to love everything that he does. And if he loved pizza, you're going to have it. But be of good cheer. This is the only time you're going to get it. So take advantage of it while you can. Have you got the idea? I wish I could help you more. It's a simple, wonderful. God, if it made it confusing, we'd never get there. And most we come to church, we go in and out, in and out. I don't have any hope in them. I'll watch them in and out, in and out. Don't you want to, you want to eat and let God take us and pound it into your head and pound it into your heart. And you'll be a new creature for real and for right. And you'll start enjoying. You'll start. You'll enjoy just being alive. Our Father and God set apart all of this. What can we do? Spirit of God, it's all about it from start to finish, but it's so hard to deal because you're God in your magnificence, in your might, in your mercy. God, there's you just being who you are. And Spirit of God, you got to help us. So we don't want to get tied up in the system. We don't want to get tied up in our family. We don't want to get tied up in our job. We don't want to get tied up in our health. God, we want to find ourselves, all of those things causing us to wrap ourselves around you for support and strength, for encouragement. And God, you said it from square one. You're the only God, the only Savior. You are all in all. You are enough. Just yourself. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.